This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
I'm going to Wichita. Hey, Shocker fans, want the latest on Wichita State athletics? Let's go right to the source with Shocker AD Kevin Saul.
All right, and we are happy to bring in Kevin Saul. Let's quickly set up our HTO giveaway here as we start the second hour. Some free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, some free iced or hot coffee. You get one of each right now by texting the keyword tea to the short code 20357. That's TEA 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. These are good for any of the three Wichita Metro locations. Good luck, everybody. Kevin Saul joining us, and look, the start of conference volleyball play is tonight. We've got basketball teams practicing. We are a week and change away from Shocker Madness, a ton of Wichita State happening. But, Kevin, sometimes this happens. I feel like when you join us, it's fortuitous for us that we get these topical things falling into our laps. UNLV's quarterback stepping away because he's not getting what he was promised through NIL. This is a fear for people. I know Paul just is, you know, his head spinning on this. But I would just say initially, like, and you've told us before, there are a lot of promises unkept in this NIL world, and that's a problem. But could you imagine if a coach or anyone else on campus was told they would be compensated some way and then they weren't? How do you think they'd react? I would say, you know, to people, like, hang on a minute, take some grace to this and understand, like, if this person was promised something and it wasn't delivered, you'd probably be pretty upset too. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having us on. You know, it's the system is not set up for success from an accountability and transparency and clarity standpoint. I think what amazes people when you start talking about NIL and these quote unquote offers that occur as a part of the recruiting process, none of it's in writing. There are no agreements. And we've got firsthand experience with some of the folks that we're coming up against in recruiting. Where we know that we have some wrongdoers in the industry that are saying, hey, you tell these kids whatever it takes to get them to campus and we'll repair the relationship when they get here. And that's absolutely not the way that we're going to manage our business at Wichita State. We're going to underpromise and overdeliver and do things the right way. Because at the end of the day, guys, it'll catch up to you. We all have been around and been on this journey long enough to know that if you handle your business the wrong way, it'll catch up to you, and it's certainly not worth that.
Well, you know, I guess I've just got to follow up with the question because it's such a good question that Jacob asked, and I've used this example. I don't think I've used this with you, but it was probably 30, 45 days ago. If you remember, John Calipari left Kentucky and went to Arkansas. Big deal. Ends up at Arkansas. And one of the demands, this is the story that I got, and I can't remember where I saw it, but I saw it on one of the news productions. Calipari demanded, if he's going to take the job at Arkansas, he demanded $15 million in NIL guaranteed. Now, you have what? How many scholarships we got in basketball? 12? I believe it's 12. Is that right? 12 scholarships.
You got 13 on the men's side and 15 on the women's side.
13, that's it, 13. So that means that basically everybody who signs a scholarship on that roster is going to get $1 million a year, because that $15 million is going to go to players and NIL. How in the world does that make that possible to really compete in recruiting with somebody who's going to say, you know, we can give you $1 million. Come to Arkansas and you'll be guaranteed $1 million. And by the way, that money, from what I understand, it came from people with the last name Walton or a bunch of them. There's a chicken, and I can't remember the name, but it's a famous name of somebody who owns a bunch of chicken, you know.
Paul.
What?
How much is John Calipari going to make? How many good basketball players are there across the country?
$4 or $5 million a year.
How many great basketball players are there across the country?
That's where I was going to go with this, right? There's more than the 15 that might land in Fayetteville. And
okay,
what I think's really interesting, guys, is when you look at, you know, the old RPI has transferred to the net. When you look at the strength of the American last year, we were seventh in the country of 32 leagues. Right. Not a bad place to be.
No, not really.
You've got the Power Five. This is pre Pac-12 meltdown. You've got the Power Five. You've got the Big East. And then you've got the American in terms of strength of league in men's basketball. And so what's interesting with that is that if you've got players that are outperforming leagues 8 through 32 and they're looking to level up, they got to go through the American before they go anywhere else. And so that certainly puts you in a beneficial spot. If you've got young people that are in the top six leagues that they're just not getting the playing time, it's not successful for them, they're coming through the American before they go down any further. If you've got young people performing in the American, they're probably going up. If they're not, they're probably going down. So what I would suggest to you is the data is showing us the last 4 or 5 years that the combination of transfers in and out is the greatest in the American than it is any other league in the country, because I would submit we're kind of the portal within the portal as players transition. Wow. That being said, the average team in our league last portal season lost 8 players to the portal, okay? Wichita State had 3 go through the portal. And so that continuity has been good. We've got 5 of our top 7 scorers returning. We've got 2 really talented freshmen, 4 through the portal, and then a young man from Croatia that we're working through some eligibility on. So I like the roster continuity. It's not the continuity that you guys and I are used to from the last 10 years.
Well, that's for sure.
Respectfully against our peers, it certainly is better.
Well, I think that has to become the goal too, right? As we talk about NIL, and I don't know if it's better or worse than when it started. Obviously, the UNLV situation shows a flaw, but if retention has to be the goal, and I think it is for you guys, but get them in there and then keep them there. That I think this offseason has been a step in that direction. Whereas, you know, the I don't know how long it's been now, 5, 6, 7 before, transfers out has been one of the biggest challenges for the Shocker program specifically. That wasn't as much of a challenge this year, and I would imagine that feels pretty good, and it feels like steps in the right direction for y'all.
It certainly does. Now, you have to be retaining high quality young people, and we feel like we have with 5 of the top 7 scorers returning. At the end of the day, Coach Mills and I are both aligned that we think the true power in NIL is on a retention standpoint. It's not necessarily the acquisition. When I think retention, I think relational. I think development. I think relationships. When I think recruiting, I think transactional and acquisitional, if you will. And so we both firmly believe that, you know, NIL's power truly is in the retention, because our young people want to feel valued. They want to feel like we're loyal to them. We want to build great relationships, and that's certainly been the case so far.
It's a great transition to men's hoops as we've gotten practice and we've looked. Word on the street is, and I'm going to butcher his name, Mate Boniak, it might be a baller. He looks pretty good. I know people are excited about him. What have you seen in practice that should get people excited? And then you mentioned some eligibility stuff. Where are we at with his ability to play?
Yep. So first and foremost, fantastic young man. He is from a personality, relational. He is unbelievable. Every time you see him, he's going to walk up to you and he's going to make eye contact. He's going to shake your hand and he's going to ask you how your day is. He's a phenomenal young man. He's a really, really talented basketball player. Obviously, he has competed in Europe at a really, really high level, and it shows. He is a man amongst boys at times, and he's got a really unique game from my perspective. He can score down low, and he's got great post moves. He also can shoot from the outside, and he's got great size and is agile and can move. So if and when we can get him to a good spot from an eligibility standpoint, he will be a tremendous asset for our club. Now, I won't go too deep into the details because it gets really convoluted really fast. But at the end of the day, every student athlete that competes in the NCAA goes through what's called the Eligibility Center. The Eligibility Center is a separate entity from the NCAA, and they have really strict, stringent guidelines. So if you don't check all 10 boxes on the Eligibility Center's list, they're not going to deem you eligible, whether that's a academic eligibility issue or if it's an amateurism issue. And so what we've done is transitioned to an NCAA function now, which is the student athlete reinstatement process. And it really boils down to, guys, whenever you're dealing, whether it's basketball, we see it in soccer, sometimes in tennis, is the European model is very different. And the eligibility center defines a professional athlete. Like, let's just say, envision a column. Right. Envision that you've got a professional, you've got an organization that plays basketball in Europe. Okay. It might start out as age groups. You might have a U12 team, then you got a U14, 16, then you get to the premier and elite teams. And the way the eligibility center works is they look at actual necessary expenses based on any compensation that you got from that organization. And if your compensation exceeds actual necessary expenses for, you know, housing, utilities, food, transportation, all those things, they deem you a professional. So the EC, the Eligibility Center, looks at the highest paid player in the league or in that particular organization and defines everybody in that organization as a professional. Well, that's not necessarily accurate nor fair. And so what we've done is a real deep dive into actual necessary expenses, compensation, all those things. We feel like we've got a really good case. We submitted to the student athlete reinstatement group yesterday, searching for a resolution to this prior to the close scrimmage against Oklahoma State on October 12th.
Well, that's tremendous, and it's a great thing. I want to visit just a moment about the schedule. I mean, looking over the schedule, I looked it over a couple days ago, and I thought to myself, I really like this schedule, Kevin, and here's why. I like the revisiting with a couple of Missouri Valley teams. You know, that's still a big part of the history of this basketball program, the Missouri Valley, whether we like it or not. That's still a big history. You got a couple of those teams on there. You've got some great teams here in the state of Kansas, Emporia State, Friends University. I'll get to that in just a second. You got a great tournament. You've selected a great tournament down in Florida. You've got a Big Ten team. You got an ACC team. And you got an SEC team in Wichita State. I think that's perfect. I like that. There's a lot I like about this particular schedule. But I wanted to ask you a question with regards to the Kansas teams that you're scheduling. And I don't mean Kansas State, because you have them on December the 21st. I'm talking about Friends and Emporia State. Wichita State, knowing your predecessors as well, and I know it's probably the same with you, there's a great need in helping these teams, you know, survive, do well, advance their cause at their level. Talk a little about, how did you decide Friends? How do you decide Emporia State? How do you decide which teams to help in terms of scheduling them with Wichita State? Two things happen. Those kids will play before a number of people they'll never play in front of in their entire career. And the other thing is obviously financial. It's a big boon. But I like picking Friends to play a game with. It's local. You know, having coached football there for 10 years at one point in my life, it was it's a wonderful school. What goes into selecting that local team?
It's a great question. So, you know, we played Friends last year,
right?
And
that's,
I would,
right,
tell you that scheduling is both an art and a science, and there's some projection to it. It's there's certainly an art. You got to do your research, and you got to understand who you're scheduling and what their performance is, and the NIL and transfers really messes with that like it hasn't in the past. But at the end of the day, the goal is to create about four or five things. The goals are to create a schedule that's going to put us in at-large consideration for the NCAA tournament should we not win the conference basketball tournament. We feel like we've done that in terms of the number of projected quad one and quad two games that are on this schedule. The other element is, you know, most teams are going to schedule a handful or less in quad four as well. Every team has a guaranteed budget. Wichita State has about $500,000 that we use for guarantees to pay teams to come in, and that market's anywhere from 60K to maybe 100K per game. The Emporia States, the Exhibitions, and the Friends are obviously a lot smaller than that. But at the end of the day, that's the balance on the schedule. If you were to take a team sheet and you were to look at the quads and you were to flip that team sheet over, you really want it to look kind of like a bell curve. You want to see obviously a few in quad one. You want to see a lot of twos, a little less threes, and a little less fours. That's the ideal as it shakes out. To answer your question, Paul, I think back to when I was growing up in Manhattan and we were watching the Jayhawks and Coach Williams do his thing. He made it a point. He took pride in bringing in the Fort Hays States, and the Emporia States, and the Pitt States, and the Washburns to come in and experience that, keeping money in the state, helping these programs within the state. I certainly think there's an element to that. There's a geographic proximity element to it, and we'll continue to do that. The important piece to understand is obviously you get an exhibition, and typically teams will play maybe one non D1 as a part of their regular season. They either put it early or they put it when they're coming back from Christmas break, going into the holidays. And what's interesting, Paul, is what the Nets are showing us over the last few years. You're better off scheduling a non D1 from an at-large perspective than spending $60,000 to $100,000 on a quad four game where the net might be 300 to 360. You're going to be hurt more by playing that quad four 300 to 360 than you are if you play a non D1 that doesn't count. You look at the team sheets the NCAA committee looks at the end of the season when they're selecting. There's a little spot right down there at the bottom that says non D1, and ours will obviously say Friends, but it doesn't count in the overall net calculation.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting.
I did not know that. That is fascinating.
So a couple of housekeeping before we get you out of here. Volleyball starts conference play tonight on the road at Memphis. Shocker fans, that home opener is 7 o'clock on Friday against Temple. The next time we talk to Kevin, we'll have a real good gauge of volleyball because they'll be into conference play. But before we let you go, Kevin, I want to ask you about Shocker Madness because it will happen before the next time we talk to you. A week from Saturday, 6:30, and it sounds like there are a couple of new features. I know this is a big event for you guys. So what should fans know about and make plans for if they're getting out to Shocker Madness this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is obviously a great event. We've tried to transition a little bit about it is truly a basketball event at its core, but we also try to introduce all of our student athletes in front of the crowd. So from all of our teams, and I think that resonates really, really well with folks. We've got a great week planned. It's Shocktoberfest next week, which is Wichita State's version of homecoming. And so you've got events from Saturday and Sunday all the way through the end of the week. And athletics' contribution to that is in a number of areas, but particularly with Shocktoberfest. Last year, we did the Tech 9 concert afterwards, so that drew some folks in. This year, they're looking at doing a drone light show afterwards as well. So hopefully the weather cooperates with us. Paul has volunteered to be the lead on the weather.
That's it.
So we'll hold them all accountable if that doesn't work. But it's a great night, right? You're going to see some unique competitions. We introduce staff players and do all those things. But we've got a three-point shooting contest where we're going to pair up one of the women on our women's team and one of the student athletes on our men's team. They'll compete as a duo. We'll do a little tournament bracket. So it's just a lot of fun. And we encourage folks to get into Charles Koch Arena. And at the end of the day, guys, we've got season ticket packages that are starting as low as $300. That's the cheapest ticket. It's a brand new ticket, 125, 126, that we've offered in the last 10 years, 12 years. And so we're trying to get folks back into Coke Arena. I think we've got some really good things going on with both Coach Nooner and their staff. Brought in 9 new players. There's some real athleticism, and he thinks he's going to go probably 9 or 10 deep on this team. They want to play fast. They want to press. They're doing some really good things. And now is the time. We are headed in the right direction in both of those programs. Would encourage folks to go to GoShockers.com or call our ticket office at 316-978-FANS, F-A-N-S, and get your season tickets today. At $300 a season ticket with 16, 17 home games, it's pretty good value.
Yeah, it's now's the chance. Yep. And we'll
now's
see
the
some
time.
Of these players.
Yeah.
We'll have Coach Mills on as we get closer to the season. I think people are starting to get excited about this roster. Careful what you wish for on Paul and the weather. He's got an anti-rain dance. He's got his Hawaiian buttoned up to his chin right now. That anti-rain dance, those buttons come down, baby. So yeah. just be careful. Be
yeah.
careful out there.
I got you.
Shocker Madness next Saturday. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Looks like it's going to be fun. Brew Garden, Fan Fest, all kinds of stuff. GoShockers.com. Kevin, we appreciate it. Thanks for the insight here. And we're getting close to basketball
yes,
season.
Yes, we are.
Let's go. Guys, thanks for having
Let's
us on
go.
The show.
Great go Shockers. Job. Great job today.
Kevin Saul. Yeah, appreciate the visit. Good to have Kevin on the video stream for the first time. Always love that. Great stuff there. If you want to go back and listen to any of it, a little bit there on this UNLV situation, you can go back on the Odyssey app. That gets podcasted out. We're going to expand on that a little bit when we return. What exactly happened? What do we make of it? Also, this Travis Kelce. I don't even know what's happening here, but it's, you know, all this drama llama stuff. This is right up Paul's alley. So we're going to get into that as we go through hour number two. 869-1240, if you want to chime in on that IHOP hotline, you can.
That's good.
Here we go. Sports Daily rolling forward. Hour number two coming right up.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Odyssey's I'm Listening initiative aims to encourage those who are dealing with mental health issues to understand they're not alone. It's okay to not be okay. We know the power of talk can save lives. The I'm Listening broadcast aims to share valuable resources for those who need to connect, heal, and share their own stories. Radio personality and co-host of NBC's Today and The Voice, Carson Daly, and Odyssey's nationally syndicated country host, Katie Neal, will return to host that broadcast, 7 o'clock, that annual I'm Listening broadcast special. It'll be found tonight on KNSS, KEYN, 105.3 The Buzz, and Power 93.5. Then you'll get a replay after Royals baseball tonight here on KFH at 10 o'clock. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We got into this just a little bit with Kevin Saul. Matthew Sluka is leaving UNLV because he was promised something through NIL that wasn't delivered, and he wants to maintain his red shirt year. Let me frame this to you in a way, Paul, that I think should be the way we look at this.
Okay.
Here's a college athlete that graduated from Holy Cross, I believe it was, had an opportunity. He's not going to go play in the NFL, most likely. Had an opportunity after graduating from a school that he committed, spent a lot of years for, to go try to make probably the only money he'll make as a football player over his lifetime. He gets a call from a coach. We'll give you $100,000 to come to UNLV. Awesome. Let's go see what kind of a special season we can have. Let's let all that hard work pay off for a year. Get to UNLV, and all of a sudden, that was just window dressing. You get nothing. You still have the opportunity to live that dream. You got screwed over by one school, but you know what? Right now, if I take the step right now, I can preserve the ability to go do that again. I have absolutely no issue whatsoever with this. If what we're being told is true, Pete Thamel reporting, and this is through the representative of Matthew Sluka, that an assistant coach promised $100,000 to transfer there. All they've basically given him is a small relocation stipend. And, you know, it was never about they got off to a hot start and he wanted more money. It wasn't any of that. It was that his promise to come there in the first place wasn't being delivered upon. Would you not do the same thing? Like, he gets one opportunity, Paul, to make any money off of his ability as a football player. And it's this season after graduation. I have no issue with this. I have far, far, far more issue if it's, you know, if you believe his representation that UNLV promised something like that and then delivering on it. That is the issue we need to be talking about here. But you're going to see people up, oh, this selfish college kid, NIL, oh, it's all about the money. Everything in life's all about the money. Get over it. Come on. Put yourself in his shoes. Put yourself in his parents' shoes. How furious would you be if he was promised that and it wasn't delivered? I got no issue with this.
Well, I'm a little naive to speak on this thing because I thought these guys would sign a contract. You know, we visited about all those guys, you know, all the basketball players at the University of Arkansas are going to end up being millionaires for 1 year. They're going to be a millionaire at the end of the year. I get that. You know what I thought? You know what I thought, Jacob? How naive am I? I thought they were signing an agreement. I thought there was an NIL agreement.
Not yet.
Well,
not
I yet. Thought there was, and I thought to myself, you know, everybody knows what everybody's promised. And I can remember back in the early days. In fact, I remember a radio show where you and I were talking about in the early days of NIL and how the schools were trying to keep it kind of on the low. You know, let's not discuss this too much. Let's not tell anybody about how much we've guaranteed this player or that player. And remember, you and I had a conversation. I remember this. And it was on the air. I remember this just like it was yesterday, where we had the conversation about how do you keep NIL and the money they're paying secret? Because the kid says, I'm going to get from ABC University, I'm going to get $100,000. And we talked about this specifically. The first thing he does is he sees grandma. And grandma says, oh, where are you going to school, grandson? And he says, I'm going to ABC University. And grandma, they're going to give me $100,000. Well, by Sunday morning rolls around, everybody in her church is going to know her grandson is going to ABC University and they're going to get $100,000. You can't keep a lid on this. We figured that out.
It's a badge of honor for these athletes too, Paul. Like, it's just like the pro athletes. They want to know that they're making the most.
That's right.
You know, and that part, again, if you're bothered by players being compensated, you're going to have to just be left behind. We're so far past that now the focus needs to be about how do we come up with a system that benefits the schools and the players. Kevin Saul mentioned it, and he's not the first, but we hear this all the time. There are bad actors out there promising kids things that it just doesn't matter what happens. You just get them on campus and you deal with it later. That is happening. You can hear that right from the people involved with it. Mm-hmm. I think eventually, and the problem is there's a lot of other factors being worked out in court and all these things. Eventually, you'd like to get it to the point where this is all cut and dry, right? Here is the agreement for you to come. And that's why the schools are going to have to get involved. Here's the agreement. Here's what you're going to make. Boom. You sign the dotted line and we're done. There's still this blend of old school, you know, money in a sock through some representative under the table way that things were happening when you were playing college
football. Yes.
And this new world of front facing, like, look how much money I'm making. Look at this bling. Look at this car. Look at this XYZ. There is going to be a settling of things. It's complicated, right? And so when we see things like this story, that an athlete was allegedly promised something that was not delivered upon, don't always immediately take the side of the school. Don't always immediately take the side of the coach. Don't always immediately say it's a selfish player, XYZ, any of this. Just think about it for a second and put yourself in those shoes and ask yourself what you would do if somebody told you, I'm going to pay you $100,000 to come do this job, and then you begin to do it and you do it really well, and they just don't pay you. Mm-hmm. How would that make you feel?
What
would your reaction to that be?
Mine might be, I might leave.
If we're talking about, you know, reality of this thing, like I'd be pissed.
Right, I would.
That's not an indictment on him as a teammate. That's real life stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, this kid probably has one opportunity to earn a living as a football player, and it'll last a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't delivered on.
And you're asking, how do we solve this? Obviously, there's got to be a contract. There's got to be a contract between the school the player. It's got to be signed. It's got to be a real contract. It's got to be a binding contract. And obviously, that's not being done because he's already left school. He's gone. He's left because he wanted to protect his year. And he's played 4 games. And according to the rules, from my understanding, he can still redshirt or he can still leave and presume to be able to save a year of eligibility, which he needs to do. So with that being said, I understand that. But obviously, there are you know where I always thought the biggest problem would be? I thought it would be with an individual advertiser, an individual business, not the university that would cause the problem. This is why I'm kind of caught back. I'm kind of caught in a little bit of shock and disbelief, because this is the university saying, or evidently is being said to have not performed what they agreed to. I always thought it would be that car dealer, that one car dealer or a hardware store or a restaurant, name the business, who would say, you know something, you're not playing well enough, and you're not getting us enough recognition, I'm not going to pay you the NIL that I promised that I would pay you. That's where I thought the problems would come. I mean, and I think of Archie Manning. I mean, let's think of Archie Manning. I mean, here it was, the most publicized quarterback, I think, of the last decade, and he ends up going to Texas. He doesn't even start at Texas. But word was he was making $7, $8 million. Now, all that was not from the university, Jacob. A lot of that money was going to be used from advertising of who there, whatever, all throughout the state of Kansas. Hi, I'm Arch Manning, and I drive a car from this dealership, or I eat breakfast every morning over here. But the point is that somehow this has got to get to a point where when somebody is promised something, that will be fulfilled. And that's going to take a contract. And that's going to take probably a standard contract across the entire NCAA. Yeah,
you got sort of two different things happening. The car, the true NIL, and that a company pays an athlete for representation, that stuff gets put in a contract. It's this other money, right? It's this collective money, right? That's not tangibly to one place, but from a collective, and coaches just out there, I don't know, making stuff up, basically.
We're told
from a lot of different people. You just heard it from Kevin Saul. I've heard it, Paul. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it from coaches, from all over the place, say the same thing. There are people out there promising these kids things that are made up, and then they just get them there, and then they just deal with it when they're there. And you know, kids are like, well, what the hell else am I going to do? I guess I'll just play. I got screwed. Well, not this time. And I'm glad he's standing up to it. And eventually, again, I would guess that in 5 years, Paul, this is not really a problem because everything will be laid out You'll have revenue sharing. Here's what it is. Here's what you can earn. You can go do your own separate NIL with business opportunities. But as far as the school's got to be able to step in and regulate this so they can put pen to paper.
Right.
Because it's going to benefit the schools, too, to not have liars out there abusing these relationships to get to these kids. That that benefits the schools.
Right.
Right. To have it all front facing.
Right. And I the thing that scares me, and here's what really scares me, is the fact that these kids are making these decisions based upon the word of a university, the word of somebody like that. And these kids are making decisions. A lot of these kids are helping mom and dad. A lot of these kids are helping grandparents. They're making the life better. It's not all about the car sitting in the parking lot. Or it's not all about the bling that you're able to buy with the money that you're getting. It's about coming back and sending that money home. A lot of these kids are helping mom and dad with their house, with a car, with whatever that might be. And when moms and dads make arrangements to help do something with the house or maybe even buy a house, that money needs to be fulfilled because that is life-changing money. And it's life-changing if they don't get that money. I mean, it really changes your life.
Well, it is. And that's, I always say, put yourself in the position of being that kid's parent. We've all lived enough life. By the time you've got a college kid, we've lived enough life to know if you've got an opportunity like this, you cannot waste it. You have to take every advantage, every opportunity. When you have a short window to go earn that, and everyone, like, it's not just the millions and millions and millions. That's pretty obvious. If it was $100,000 for this kid, Paul, $100,000, if that's what he's promised, okay? I started my professional career making $725 an hour. I think I made $17,000 a year right out of college. Now, I chose my profession, but what I would say is there aren't a lot of people right out of college who are going to do anything professionally that earns them that kind of money. Most people.
That's life.
And so you have this unique and rare opportunity. Be glad that the kids are. There are coaches making buyout money in the tens of millions of dollars. And we don't even, we're just like, whatever, go find a new coach. What about that money? You're like, so just.
Good point.
Put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their shoes. Before you shake a stick at this quarterback for standing up for himself, understand that in the same circumstances, if you were in them, you would do the exact same thing. And if you don't, good for you. The rest of us would. Nobody wants to be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. He's smart enough to know, you know what? I can still do this. But this is the path I have to take to be able to do it. And I'm really sorry to my teammates. I hope they're awesome. I hope they're great. But I cannot pass up this opportunity. It's just a bad decision.
Right. And, of course, you know, other schools that recruit against UNLV, they're going to use this like a club over the head of the UNLV.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is going to get dinged all the time. Oh, I wouldn't go to UNLV. They don't keep their promises. You know, you saw the quarterback.
Yeah, that's what should happen. They should
That's right. That's what should happen. If you're going to screw a kid and make promises and then not fulfill them, the world needs to know, Jacob. The world needs to know.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break. 869-1240 on the IHOP hotline. We can get your thoughts on it. We'll also, Paul's heating up. Top button's coming loose on that Hawaiian.
It's loose now, baby.
We're going to talk about this Travis Kelce non-story that keeps annoyingly finding its way into my stratosphere when we return on Sports Day.
That's funny.
.97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Travis Kelce, not afraid of a nice Hawaiian. Travis Kelce, a lot of people trying to make a lot about his 8 catches for 69 yards this year. Paul, what's the Chiefs' record?
Well, the last I checked, it was 3-0.
Who won the last two Super Bowls?
Well, the last time I checked on that one, it was the Kansas City Chiefs.
Folks, Travis Kelce's 34 years old. What he's already done at his age is pretty unchallenged in NFL history. Okay, even the great Tony Gonzalez didn't do what Kelce has done over the over his career. The consecutive and the continued greatness. He is being relied upon to block more. They're a run-first team for the last year and a half, or last year and three games. He is being double-covered because they are not deep at wide receiver. Why is this all, like, why do people immediately, like, yeah, he did some acting in the offseason. Yeah, he traveled around with his pop star girlfriend. Like, this is Travis Kelce, who loves football as much as any human has ever loved football before. Patrick Mahomes is in every commercial on television. He owns or is a part owner in two other sports franchises. He jet sets around the world to do all of these appearances, and nobody's ever batted an eye. Patrick Mahomes is struggling a little bit this year, too. Why are we looking at Travis Kelce in this light? The Chiefs are 3-0, Paul. He's 34. Like, what is the issue? I don't understand. Because he looked morose on the sideline on a camera shot of the game? He rubbed his eye? Like, what do people think is going on here?
Well, isn't the definition of morose in a person might be kind of subjective? It might be, well, does he? I mean, to me, he does or he
doesn't.
He's
34 years old, sure, at a position where guys don't, like, it's one of the more difficult positions to play in football by all accounts. But a player that has to be basically an offensive lineman and a wide receiver at the same time, there is historically an age cap on it, and he's reached it. Well, and I don't think, by the way, Chiefs fans are doing this. I think Chiefs fans are fully aware that Travis Kelce's role has changed over the last 2 years because they've become a run-first team as much as anything else, and because defenses are choosing to take him away. But, like, and I guess, look, I shouldn't be surprised, and it doesn't really make me that mad because you date Taylor Swift, the biggest star in the world, and you're going to have this kind of stuff come along with it because people that are very casual to what's happened over the course of his career and everything else are just going to try to invent and cook up some narrative that, to me, just is so far off base. It's laughable.
Well, but the thing is, a woman has entered his life. A woman is now involved in his day-to-day. A woman, Jacob. It's a woman. We all know that women don't fit in the world of football players while the football season's going. Well, that's not quite true, is it? A lot of married
guys. Paul, just the listeners, Paul's making fun.
I'm being facetious. I am, and I get that. But the point is that, you know, not all women are the same. I mean, let's face it. This one's a little different. This one will attract the media, will attract paparazzi, What? Am I off
Travis Kelce was the main character of a reality dating show in the middle of his prime.
I know.
None of this is new to Travis Kelce. He has always been a character. He has always had other interests. He was on Saturday Night Live. He was a reality star. Like, this stuff isn't new. You've got a player who's reached an age at a position where guys typically fall off a little bit that's being asked to do something completely different now than he ever has been. There's nothing. The Chiefs are 3-0. Now, I would say this. If they were 0-3 and Kelce was struggling, maybe I'd have a little bit more of a problem with it.
Yeah.
But they're winning these games, which is so clearly all he cares about and has for a long time. That man wants to win this third straight Super Bowl.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
Period, period.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes just wants to win the third. Like, they do not care about that stuff right now.
Right.
Travis Kelce's compensated fairly, finally. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to. Like, they don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Their numbers are completely irrelevant. They just want to win a third Super Bowl. But, so until they stop winning games, let's stop worrying about any of it.
Yeah, but there are people that are going to say, but this isn't the same Travis Kelce. I know we're trying to run the ball more.
He's not. He's 34 years old.
But his role, what he is being used for, his ability to be used in what? We've seen him use, what, four, five, six positions in the course of a football game. I mean, all the way from tight end to X to Y to Z to an A back. We've seen him used all over the field, and that's not happening the way it used to be. And I just think that people are going to say, well, Where is the Travis Kelce that we've had in the past? Because as we speak right now, Travis Kelce has, I mean, he's only averaging, what is
it? Eight catches, 69 yards.
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, he's averaging less than three catches a game. This is not the guy that we're used to. This is not the guy. And the fact that he's dating the most famous woman in the world has nothing to do with it. This is a decision by the Kansas City Chiefs to refocus this team in a way. And how do we know this isn't a deal where, you know, we're going to need Travis Kelce in the second half of this year?
True. And they said that going in. He and the coaches said that before the season.
And postseason.
They know they've got to put a governor on him early. They know that. He knows that. He said he learned that last year. My body is telling me that I have to do things a little bit differently because he's an older player.
Right.
That's just the way it goes. All right. You know, we spent just a couple of minutes on there because I think this is getting out of control.
By the way, let me just point this out. Your wife's been a blessing to you. She's been good for you. I don't care what you say.
I wouldn't disagree at all. Best thing that ever happened to any of us. 869-1240. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Tell you what's on the network next.
That's bad.
Ready to take your business to the next level?